Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Good morning. It's the Pomp and Joe Show. Bob Pompiani sitting across from me. In the holiday spirit, I might add. City Limits to my left with a fresh haircut, looking more and more like Jimmy Neutron with each passing day.
I really like this haircut today, Joe. I really do.
Same barber, same person doing it?
No, actually.
You tried. You betrayed your old... Wow.
I seemingly can't get to the same barber, it seems like, every time I try to go. And
well, whoever it was did a good job.
Did a very good job.
You look great. Thank you. I agree with Bob. Who's the guy sitting next to you?
This is Danny. He goes to Waynesburg. He's here to shadow us
today. Oh, man. All the Waynesburg connections here. It's unbelievable.
It really is.
There'd be an equal opportunity area here, you know.
Lanny's
done a good job procuring talent, developing talent. Austin's a prime example, and now Danny's moving up the chain.
Where's Donnie Football? You forgot about Donnie Football.
Well, I know there's a whole bunch of them, but he's not here. Austin is.
Folsey was a Lanny Fratteri graduate.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
No.
That's true, right?
So, that is true. And Harry Callis as well.
Where is Danny from?
He's from Mount Lebanon, Bob. I already asked him about Uptown Coffee, which is unbelievable. I asked him about Southminster, the church up there where I got married.
Did you ask him about Westminster Abbey?
No. Looks like a wonderful man. Is he nice so far?
He's been great so far.
Nice guy. All right, Bob. We got a lot to talk about today, don't we? It's a very special day. In many ways, we're going to talk to Rob Long from Baltimore Radio, who is one of our favorite guests, who was right on about the Ravens' defense earlier this year. Had a little bit of a social media feud with Patrick Queen going on. I'd love to rekindle that a little bit. Jay Caulfield on the rejuvenated Penguins, the big boy Mark Cabali, and the biggest news of all, the unveiling of our very first single from the very Mulsey Christmas album called Mulsey the Snowman at 1 p.m., Bob. We've played it for select people as a preview, sort of behind the scenes, and they're absolutely blown away by your solo in the middle of the song, which is the high point. You agree, Limits?
This song might win a Grammy, guys. It might win a big award.
Is the best part of it, Bob, solo in the middle?
Yes.
I mean, he nailed it. It was... Well, really,
there was no music attached, so I wish I
there
had
is a now.
Mulligan. I know, but I would have adjusted to the music more.
No. The music adjusted to you.
No, I don't think so.
Our guy, no, I'm serious about that. You could have. Do you like voices for cartoons? Or I know you do commercials and
I would like to do voices for cartoons.
You'd be unbelievable.
I don't have any idea who to contact, but I could be like the Abominable Snowman or somebody like that, right?
You're better than the original guy who sang in Frosty the Snowman. Who was it?
No, that's a pretty
Some
good...
Some famous guy,
I know,
right?
But that was... I really appreciate that. I thought he was outstanding.
This man is talented.
You're talking about Perry Como?
Maybe.
Is that
who sings it?
Yeah.
You're better than Perry Como.
No. But, hey, it's fun. I like to karaoke. So whenever you have a chance to do something, especially you provided the lyrics, it was easy.
Speaking of karaoke, something's happening tonight at Mike's Beer Bar. Yes, Limits?
That's right, and it was Gene Autry who first sung Frosty the Snowman.
Bob's better than him, too. It's our annual Christmas party, karaoke at
Yes,
Mike's.
Pumped up for this. Maybe the Malzy, the snowman, will hit the town.
We could perform it live. That's why we're unveiling it today at 1.
Well, someone has to do me then. I can't be there. So.
I know. That's a shame. Well, we could always play it. We could play it in the background.
We could play it.
That would be unbelievable.
Bob Solo will bring the house down.
Am I singing with you? What are the highlights of this going to be? Is Friermuth going to be there? Is that the plan? Or are we talking about that? Is he supposed to be there? What's going on?
I think there's a plan in place. Now, I think as well, Joe, you and I are going to be one of the first people to sing.
What is your song of choice?
What are we singing?
We're going to sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but it appears that someone else has taken Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, I know who took Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Jenna Harner and Mike DeFabo. They stole
correct.
It. They stole it from us. So now what do we do?
I don't know. There's currently a blank space.
Wait,
with
is,
a red
is it Jenna
marker.
DeFabo then now?
Not officially, but yes. I mean, not for on-air purposes.
Oh, okay. So Jenna Harner and Mike DeFabo.
Yeah. So if you're looking for another song, you got to do Blue Christmas. Does anyone have Blue Christmas? That's such a good song.
How does that go? Is that Elvis?
Yeah. You've
sing
heard
a little
it.
Bit of Bob.
Oh, have a blue. Oh, Christmas, we're here without you. Come on and sing me, baby.
Oh, my God.
I don't think we can top that.
No. That's the end of the show.
No,
right
I think
there.
You should do it. It doesn't go all crazy.
Bob, I can't do
yes,
that.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Look at the lyrics and sing.
What about, I don't know, another old classic? Up on the Housetop?
Up on the Housetop's a good one.
Up on the Housetop is available.
Let's sing that.
We could do that. Nobody's done We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
That's too boring. That's not,
yeah. We wish you a Malzy Christmas, on the other hand.
What about, what's a good one? Let me think. There are some other good ones out there that you need to try.
We also have Starkey requesting to sing I'm a Believer, and I'm in parentheses on this, so I guess I'm potentially joining.
Do you know that song by the Monkees? Neil Diamond?
I know
them?
Parts of it, but I don't know. I
didn't
do not
it have
know
a
it
revival?
Word by word.
It had a revival in a movie recently, didn't it?
I believe so, yeah. I can't remember
what movie
it was.
I thought it did, Bob. Anyway.
Merry Hours is doing it. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
You and Merry Hours as a duet, as a duo, would be incredible. It would be better than Aaron Neville and Linda Ronstadt.
She's a really good singer. I'm not.
So is she.
It would have to be totally catered to where I can go range-wise. But I've done some TikToks with her. She's very good at that, too. So I go along for the ride.
Why aren't you going to be there tonight, Bob? I'm bitterly disappointed.
It's always work-related.
Call in sick.
He says that about golf. He says
he thinks it just cures everything.
Is Carson Wentz going to play in this game, or do we believe that Mahomes is going to play?
Because it's not that important at this point, more important is his health, I would believe Carson Wentz would play on Saturday. Now, on Wednesday
doesn't
next.
Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like Mahomes is angling to play.
Andy Reid will make the final say on that one.
He was a full participant in their practice yesterday.
I know that. But I also think they've got to be smart about this. They have a two-game cushion over Buffalo, actually one.
A second. Was he faking it again? I stood up for Mahomes the other day because social media erupted and said he was faking it.
No.
I came on Monday and said that the people are crazy. Now he's a full participant after that?
Full participant in practice.
He was faking it. Limits.
I mean, maybe it was just the initial hit wasn't as bad as we thought. Like, could that be the case with TJ Watt?
Well, I hope so. Bob, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Please continue.
I have a stat that I think is very interesting about Kansas City because we've been talking about how unimpressive they've been. As unimpressive as you can be for 13-1. So only four teams this season have yet to score more than 30 points in a game, right?
Yeah.
Kansas City is one of them.
That's incredible.
But they're 13-1. Here are the other three who haven't scored 30. The Patriots are 3-11. The Giants are 2-12, and the Raiders are 2-12. And then the Kansas City Chiefs join them by not scoring more than 30 ever in a game, and they're 13-1.
And that just blows me away. That's one of the most incredible stats I've ever heard. This deep into a seat. That's like a stat you hear after 4 weeks.
That shows you how every game of theirs has been right on the line. They could have lost six of them, seven of them.
I know, but then you look at their
defense. But they win. They know how to win. Their defense is really good. And that's the thing about their defense. This is going to be three straight games for the Steelers against really good defenses.
I know.
And I think Baltimore has improved to the point that they're really good.
We're beating around the bush, Bob. Let's get to it, Limits. Almost inconceivably and unbelievably, we had another pony pass issued on this show yesterday. Andrew Filippone, does a great job in the afternoon. We love him dearly, Bob. Do we not?
We do. He's got a photographic memory. I hate that man. Would you please shut that off?
Maybe some of us less than others. But he famously issued the Steelers a free pass before the game in Cleveland earlier this year, you'll remember. I thought that was a one and done. Little did I know, this is a free pass season from Andrew Filippone. We are already, if the Steelers win this game and clinch the AFC North, issuing a playoff free pass, Bob. Get in line early to get your playoff free pass. I want you to listen to this before we talk about it. A lot of people might agree with Pony here. Mulsey was not one of them. I decidedly am not one of them. But this is what happened. I was waiting over at school for my daughter to come out after school, listening in the parking lot, falling asleep as I often do right after the show, Bob, when I sat up in my seat and to my disbelieving ears, heard yet another free pass being issued 3 or 4 weeks before the playoffs even start. This was the PM show yesterday, and it was compelling radio, I must say. It was very good stuff. Here's about 2 minutes of this, and then we take sides, Bob. You and I, the listeners, the guy who's back there with limits plus limits, 412-928-9370, we're going to riff off this.
We have Tomlin comments, him talking about how this is an all-hands-on-deck game because it's for a division championship against the Ravens. Let's just start with that question. Do you agree with it? Is it that vital? Is it that important?
I don't think it is. I got to be consistent with what I said yesterday. Like, I hear that quote from him, like, hey, we've got a chance to win this thing. And for me, you win a division, and I can't play the hypothetical game too much here. Who knows? They could get all these guys back, and they could all stay healthy and be as healthy as they're going to be and win the division. Great. What matters to me more, though? You win this game, you win the division, and then you go one and done in the playoffs, or you maybe even limp into the playoffs, like not that impressively because you're banged up and the schedule's tough, but you get as healthy as you could possibly be for the playoffs and then win your first playoff game? I'll take option B there, man. There's no doubt. Like, what would I rather have? Hey, the 11-6 Pittsburgh Steelers and AFC North champions on wild card weekend, or maybe the 10-7 Pittsburgh Steelers wild card team playing in the division round? That's not a hard question for me to answer. I don't know why it would be for anyone else.
Well, because the first scenario that you outlined, though, franchises the teams themselves, the way that they keep score, the things they value or treasure. In that scenario, they value option A more than option B. Teams, the Steelers don't because they're a old-timey franchise. But the other teams in town, the Penguins and Pirates, for example, if you win a division, you hang a banner for that. Division championships get cherished. If you finish runner-up and then win a playoff game and lose in the divisional round, you don't get anything for that. It's nothing. It's a good year. It's better than every year since 2016.
Still would rather have a playoff game. Win.
Yes, I would too, because it's been so long since we had one. But I don't put no stock or no value. There is value in being the bully on your block, especially when you're in a division with the Ravens and Bengals, and they have Burrow and Lamar, in my opinion. And as someone that is a very ardent, I think, critic of Mike Tomlin and will bash the guy when he absolutely deserves it, I completely disagree with that. I'm not going to be so angered over a division title in this specific year when they blew up their quarterback room and rolled the dice with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Yes, it'll be a continuation of January playoff disappointment, but I'm not going to look back on this season as a failed year.
That was the key line, and they went on from there, Bob, where Pony's take is basically this is a successful year no matter what if they win the division. The only caveat he put in there is if they get blown out, I would add, like usual, in the playoffs. If they get blown out like the Cleveland game, to which I would ask, you know, what's the line you draw there? 10 points, 17 points, 25? They only lost. Did they lose the Cleveland playoff game by what, 10 in the end?
Yeah, they were all closer than... Yeah, you know, it was at one point.
It was a 12-point game at right. one point.
Just so, like the Jacksonville game had gotten away from them, and they made it look closer than it was.
So bottom line is he did say, I would rather have a playoff win than a division
right,
title.
He did say that.
Although I must say the conversation started to veer a little bit from that if we had kept listening. But he did say that. But he also said, I wouldn't look back on this as a failed season if they only win the division. I disagree vehemently with that, Bob. You?
Not vehemently, but I disagree.
Is it a successful year if they just win the division and lose in the playoffs?
They do put a lot of value in winning divisions, and I think it's important to do that. I do. However, it's just like Ohio State. You know, whatever they do, they're going to go in the postseason if they lose. Regardless, they could have won. It to me, it diminishes it a little bit, and that's the same thing here. If they win the division, I would expect them to get a home playoff game, obviously, so therefore I expect to win. Art Rooney said as much. It's time for them to start winning playoff games. So that's what's going to make or break the end result of this season. They got to get in, and they got to, you know, move at least to the next round. And if it's a close game, you know, I get how this works. If it's a close game, you're in it, and it's a crazy game. You played well, they played better, whatever the case. I can live with that. But if it's a blowout game, then that would change everything. I think your last impression is a very first impression when you're talking about the entire season.
All we've talked about is winning a playoff game. T.J. Right, Watt. T.J. Watt has never participated in a playoff win.
And that makes it even more important that he and Cam, these guys have been around, Minka Fitzpatrick, these guys are playing for now. They have to do this thing now.
There's a hierarchy of prizes here, with the Super Bowl being the number one, obviously. You get to an AFC title game. Man, that's a good year in any year, I think. And after that is playoff wins, and way after that is division titles and such things. It's a nice accomplishment. Don't get me wrong. A nice regular season accomplishment. The key words there being regular and season. This is all about getting at least one playoff win. In fact, long ago I was told by somebody inside that building that the Steelers themselves measure a successful season based on you get a playoff win, that's a pretty good year. You know, obviously everybody wants to win the Super Bowl, but if we were just measuring on that, my God, there would be no hope, and every season's a failed season. Within that building, at least those years ago, and things don't really change much inside that building, the Steelers internally look at a playoff win season as a pretty good year. At team headquarters. All I need to know about measuring seasons on division titles is the last two times the Steelers won a division title. They came back the next week in 2020 and got their asses handed to them by the Browns. Does anybody look back at that year and say, wow, that was a good, successful year? And I sure don't.
And conversely, when they got in as the number six seed, the first ever to do it, most people thought that season was over. You know, they were 7-5, reeling. And it's funny when you go back and look at articles, comments people made during that time. There was no hope. People had given them no hope. What they remember out of that season is they went on the road and won a Super Bowl, and that's all you remember. You don't remember how they got
there. That's all you remember. Yes. It's the school year. You know, you had a great test in November. That math test you aced was wonderful. It comes down to the final exams. But I was mentioning, just look at the last two times they've won division titles. Do you look back at 2020 as a success? It was an embarrassment. Do you look back at 2017, which was the previous time they won a division? That was the Blake Bortles catastrophe. Do you look back and say, wow, that was a pretty good year, 2017? Well, yeah, the regular season was pretty good. It was nice. It was fun. But Blake Bortles came in here and destroyed them. It's all about what happens after the regular season. And that doesn't wipe out a reason to celebrate this week. It's not dousing the present. Man, it would be great. You have fun as a fan. They go in and beat the Ravens this week in Baltimore. Maybe they'll plant a flag, Bob, and get arrested for a felony. Plant your flag there for a regular season win. That's awesome, man. That's fun. And a lot of being a fan is the ride along the way. But in the end, that's all it is a regular season accomplishment. That's it. And I definitely do not define this season in particular as a success based on a division title if they don't win a playoff game. It's absolutely attached to what has been going on here for a long time. They haven't come close to winning a playoff game in 7 years. It's time. I think the guys in that room would agree to this. It's time to win a playoff game. And yes, just one playoff game would define for me a successful season. Just one. It sure as hell beats none. It gets you to the next round. It gets you within breathing distance of an AFC title game. Win a playoff game. To me, a successful season depends on that, Bob. You win one, yes, you've had a successful season.
Me
you
too.
Don't, no, it, you, it no, adds, you've, no you've had a failed
the,
season.
Success or the celebratory, if you win the division and win a playoff game, then beyond that, anything is gravy, I think. I think based on how this season started, where it was, what they were doing, you win the division, you win a playoff game, and then whatever happens, except a blowout. You don't want a blowout. But if it's a good game and you lose, so be it. You've made strides. But beyond that, I think a question we'll be talking about in the offseason will be, the Steelers obviously made their moves at quarterback for now, I think. But have they set themselves up for the future at quarterback? I'm talking about longer range, you know?
Yeah. Well, not yet, unless Russ has several more years left in him, multiple years.
And if not, they're going to be chasing this for a while, I think. You know what I mean? So I think that's going to be one of the more compelling offseason storylines.
Me too, man. But in the meantime, what constitutes a successful season for the Steelers? Does merely winning the division do that for you? No matter what happens afterwards, save for a horrendous blowout in the playoffs, right? Which is the caveat that Pony put in there. For me, it's win a playoff game or bust. 412-928-9370. Limits, your thoughts on this matter?
I would much rather win a playoff game. Like, I do value winning the division, but I think if you get in, and I think it'd be better for them situationally if they win the division, have a chance to win a playoff game. However, I would much rather have playoff success over regular season success.
Who wouldn't?
Because,
who on earth wouldn't?
If it doesn't matter, like you win the division, if I knew like, oh, well, you win the division, but you also win a playoff game, sure. But like, it's not like a silver lining must have for me. It's not. Like, I know that they value hat and T-shirts, banners with winning the division.
What's not a silver lining must have? Winning the division?
No. I mean, if you can get into the playoffs and you still think that there's a viable path, I think it's better to win the division and have a path. But if they win a playoff game, it means no different to me that they won the division. Based on what this season is ultimately always meant, to win a playoff game. That is the ultimate goal, whether
what's
you win the division or
what's
not.
What's the bar for you for a successful season?
You have to win one playoff game.
I agree.
The division
Bob.
Is
yeah,
just
same thing.
Numb for me.
Especially this franchise and this team. This year, you have to win a playoff game. And yes, just one measly little playoff win does make all the difference between a failed and successful season. Yes, it does. It's just on a different level. And to use a person from Pony's past as a great example here is Jim Boeheim from Syracuse. Do you think he had put high value on the Big East tournament? I don't think so. I remember many years.
They do put value on those things. A lot of these coaches do, but knowing that the bigger prize is out there. So it's nice to win it if you can win it, but if you don't, that's fine. You got to win.
I think in Boeheim's world, knowing that the only prize out there was the NCAA tournament.
But you've been to those things. You see how they react when they win it. It's a good accomplishment. You win the...
A nice accomplishment.
Right.
It is. And I don't think Boeheim had much value for it. He was in it to make runs in the NCAA tournament.
I understand that.
Which
but
is
he wasn't in it
world.
To lose the games. If he was on the court and they were winning and they were playing, he's trying to win a game.
Sure.
And if you win that championship, it did mean something to those players.
Yeah, and it's forgotten a day later. Now, it meant a lot to Pitt. I think it means a lot to different programs at different times.
It meant a lot to UConn. When Kemba Walker got hot at the right time, and they were bad going into that, and they end up winning that and just keep on going.
Yeah,
sometimes it can propel you.
Sometimes that can, and that's using these games in a utilitarian way.
Right.
That the division title's great for setting you up for playoff success, but whether it constitutes a successful season in and of itself, not at all.
No.
No way.
And I agree with you 100% on that. But what I'm saying is, for them, I wouldn't diminish it if you get it. You're playing to win the game. Someone once said.
Here's the thing. I'm not diminishing it as a regular season achievement. It's a great regular season achievement, but it's in the regular season. So therefore, it can't be what defines your season, almost by definition, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree.
It just can't be.
You got to win when it matters in the playoffs, especially considering the drought they find themselves in.
Now, there's the dramatic other side, which I didn't hear, but Pony pointed to Crowley saying Tomlin should be fired if they lose their first playoff game. I would say that, you know, you win a division, you have a nice regular season, and then you fail in the playoffs, and therefore your season is a failure overall. I still think the division title, you don't fire somebody after that, Bob. You don't fire people after, you know, they had an okay year.
Well, all I know is, for now, what's important is they got to win and try to win a division first and foremost. That sets you up for a better opportunity in the postseason. That goes hand in hand with winning in the postseason, I think. What's failed the Steelers over the years is they've been in that position where they have home games in the postseason and they haven't been able to complete that. In fact, it's been completely domination by the visiting team. And certainly Cleveland and Jacksonville are two teams you didn't expect to do that. So the first step is getting a home game. I think it makes things a little easier, even though we've seen them lose at home, but I still would rather have it. I have the same argument about getting home ice. I know that the numbers can tell you one thing in the playoffs, but I'd rather have that situation, everything that comes with it, with a chance to win a game. I think if they get that, they can win that first playoff game. I don't care who it's against. It could be Denver. It can be whatever team, or, you know, Los Angeles Chargers. I think at home the Steelers would win that game. And then, therefore, everything else is gravy in my view.
Now, maybe people spotted an inconsistency there. I said the season overall would be a failure, and yet, you know, I'm not firing the coach.
No.
How could that be? Well, probably because you add up the two grades. It would be an A of a regular season and an F of a postseason if they don't win a playoff game. So you still come out, even with heavily weighted toward the playoff game, as a C- or something like that, or a C maybe even, you know, just average. Pretty much what they always do, although they would win a division. Do you know what I mean, Bob?
Yeah, I do know what
you weigh
mean.
Those two things out. You're not firing coaches after, whatever, 12 and 5 years and division titles, and yet you can still declare that it was not a successful season.
Right.
If you
both
don't win a playoff game.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, they know how important this is, which is why I think they went out and got Russell Wilson and brought in Justin Fields. They know that they wanted to do something at the quarterback position which can help them right now with some of these guys on defense who are getting up there in age, and they want to get that opportunity to win a game. So bottom line is that's what they did. As I said, subplot down the road is what happens at the quarterback position in 1 or 2 years down the road.
Just winning in the regular season, I would add, is not enough even for Mike Tomlin anymore or the Steelers.
For example,
that's why they fired Matt Canada when they were 6-4. That's why he switched quarterbacks when they were 4-2 and told Jay Glazer, I'm not in this to win games. I'm in it to win championships. Well, last I checked, you got to win at least one playoff game to set yourself up. Like make at least a tiny playoff run, or how could anybody call this a successful season?
Well, to use your Buffalo Bills, for example, they have a whole rigid distinction of what makes a successful season and what isn't. They can do everything they've done. Josh Allen can be MVP. They can win every game by 30. They score in the 30s and 40s. But if they lose in the first round, how are people in Buffalo going to remember that season? So that's the level that they're at. When your expectations are high, you have to go through the expectation bar and win a game. And I think the Steelers, even though they're not at the Buffalo Bills level of expectations because of where Buffalo has been, the Steelers do have the same expectation. Get in and win. But Buffalo, more so than any team right now, is the team that has to win a playoff game, in my view.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting question to ponder. Like, my first reaction is, why shouldn't the Steelers have the same expectations as the Bills? But if you look at recent history, this whole year feels like it's about winning one playoff game. You know, don't bore me with the details in some ways along the way. You get in as a wild card, you get in as a division champ. What difference does it make in some ways? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go ask the Cleveland Browns. When they got in as a wild card, the Steelers won the division And a week later, you know, the whole town was in tears for good reason here.
Expectations are a part of everything. Every team creates expectations, good or bad. And if your expectations are high, if you don't achieve that level, then it's viewed differently. For example, if you're you mentioned Cleveland, the New York Giants, if they put together a season where they get into the playoffs and somehow win, even just getting to the playoffs is celebrated for the whole offseason. Hey, look how they made strides. Look at the Browns have won a playoff, whatever the case. So everything is depending on expectations. The Pirates have no expectations every year, so therefore
well,
if they win
say
a little
that,
bit.
Well, the Steelers were picked to finish last this year in the AFC North, and therefore this is a
success. But I think
success.
The Steelers are a different kind of example just because of how they, you know, the team they have, the expectation they have based on their a standard, to use that word. But it is, Art Rooney said so, it's time to win playoff games. So when the owner says it's time to win a playoff game, it's time to win a playoff game. That's the bar.
I mean, would a division title then be good enough next year? Or are we raising the bar a little bit next year?
To me, it's always a year-to-year thing here. But you expect that going in. Based on preseason prognosticators, the Steelers were not expected to do this. They did.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's say the Steelers win, they clinch the division. one of their final two. They go 12-5 and win a division and then lose in the first round of the playoffs. I don't think there needs to be wild extremes on either side of that as far as reactions, like fire Mike Tomlin. No, that would be ridiculous. You had a good regular season. But you also would have failed yet again at the most important time of the year, and you could say yet again, Mike Tomlin doesn't really win big games anymore. This is a big game, but it's a big regular season game, right? And if division titles constitute successful seasons, then you must, by definition, look back at 2020, which ended in a horrendous, maybe the worst playoff loss in franchise history to the Browns as a successful season, and 2017, with the Blake Bortles disaster as a successful season? I think a much better measurement And I've been told from inside that building years ago that the one the Steelers used themselves is one playoff win. You get a playoff win, that means you advanced in the playoffs that year. We'll take it. Probably not considering massive change of any kind. If you're not talking about the head coach. Like if you think as an organization you had a successful year, Bob, you're probably not firing people or making big changes. And that's, for them, winning a playoff game. Sometimes you win one, and it used to be you'd get right to the AFC title game. Now you're like I said, 60 minutes away from an AFC championship game appearance just by winning one playoff game. Those are the biggest games. That's how you measure your seasons. That's how you should be measuring your seasons, unless, as you said, you know, you're the Arizona Cardinals or somebody. But especially for this franchise this year, it feels to me like the entire theme, I think people have said it out loud. Like TJ Watt before the season wasn't talking Super Bowl. He was talking, I want to win a playoff game. I want to know what that feels like. I've never seen a franchise whose season depends more on winning one playoff game, at least, than this one this year.
Well, yes. Again, because of what they've gone through in previous failures when getting opportunities to play at home especially, it hasn't worked. That 2020 season was more of an aberration. They started 11-0 and they fell apart at the end. So it wasn't surprising that the implosion continued into the playoffs. But having said all that, the expectation still is to be, especially a team like Cleveland,
Did Penn State beat Ohio State and win the Big Ten this year? I forget.
Penn State lost to Ohio State.
Right. Yeah, I don't remember. You know why? Because the playoffs have started, right, and it doesn't matter and nobody cares. Now, that doesn't say for living in the present that we don't care about this week. This is awesome. Big game, great game, fun game. Win it, win the division. And then 3 weeks from now, like Penn State getting ready for a playoff game here, nobody's going to give a crap. Nobody gave a crap when Blake Bortles put however many they... 45, but I think only 38 offensively that day. It's about seeding. The regular season is about seeding, okay? Nice to win a division title. Yay! That would be wonderful. But the entire season is about what you do starting in January in the playoffs. How you measure seasons.
But I do think these games, while you're in it at the moment, you could set yourself up for an easier road. That's why this is important to win a division. And that's why when it happens, they should celebrate it. Because it's a body of work for an entire season. That's not to be diminished. I'm not trying to do that. Nobody should. What it also does, if you take care of it sooner than later, is you can control who rests, who doesn't rest, what you need from rest. But if you lose this game and somehow end up as a wild card, you're making your chances of winning a playoff game much more difficult. So I'd never diminish what it's, you know, the current moment. The current moment is go and beat the Ravens.
Yeah, as a way to set yourself
right
up for the playoffs.
And that's important
not,
as
not
well.
Not as a way to measure your entire season.
Make it easier, at least potentially easier for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, living in the moment, which is what we do as sports fans, there's been many awesome moments lately. Ben's final game against Cleveland, the Kenny Pickett game in Baltimore, the Kenny Pickett game at home against Oakland, the week that Franco passed. Remember that? I mean, that was incredibly emotional and a great win that night. But ultimately, how we measure final seasons is sort of like how we measure, like I said, your school year. You might have done very well on that test, Bob, in civics back in November. How'd you do on your finals? What's your final grade?
It's a bad question to ask me.
What's your final grade here?
No, that's exactly what it is. Final exam, here you go. This is your final exam. Get to the playoffs and win a game.
Maybe the real story here is Pony himself, who we love dearly. Why is he suddenly handing out more free passes than Kenny would on a Saturday morning,
Bob?
I don't know that I would look at
that as a free pass. I think he said that, you know, this season should be defined by what you shouldn't forget about what you did during the course of the
season. No. He's saying this season, I won't call it a failure, even if they don't win a playoff game.
He said that?
Yes.
I don't remember exactly what he said, but... All right. If they don't win a playoff game, they themselves would probably call it a failure, that they didn't do what their goal was, which was to get into the playoffs and win a playoff game. So the team itself would refer to it, I'm sure, that way. But, you know, first things first, get there and see where you are in the seeding process. As you said, seeding is very important.
Let's hear some calls.
Well, let's first start with Anthony in Oakland.
Hey, Anthony, what's up?
Fellas, the owner has stated to win a playoff game. So that's their focus. I'm not playing anybody who's injured for this game Saturday. I'm just not.
Because, define injured.
Well, I'm not going to play T.J. Watt or Pickens.
Well, T.J. Watt, I think, is going to play.
Well, I wouldn't play him because we saw what happened last year when they had to win the three just to make it. He gets hurt in that last game, and your season fluttered away.
Here's how I would define it, Anthony and Bob, because Bob said define it. It's very difficult. Like, is he 78%, 93%? If you're telling me that T.J. Watt would play in any other game, like a October game against the Jets, I'm playing him.
Right. I'm saying.
If the scenario is he could go, but I'd only play him in a must-win playoff game, he could go, but only there, then I'm not playing him.
I think that applies to George Pickens. I think that more so applies to George Pickens.
Do you agree with me? Yeah, totally. If that's the scenario.
But if you're able to play, you're playing.
See, that's – no.
No, I'm saying you just said guy plays it.
If you're able to – Jerome Bettis, I'm sorry, Anthony. The game against the Patriots where his leg was all banged up and he had to take shots and they went awry.
That's different.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. There's no thought to playing him in a regular season game, but in a playoff game, he would play.
You just said that if he's capable of play, if the decision is made in a regular season game that he would play. I'm assuming that's what we're using as your template here. If he's able to play because he could have played in October, he should play now.
But he shouldn't play if the only scenario is if this were a playoff game, we gut it out here.
If it's too important to do that. But if he's capable of playing and the doctor said there's no risk in this further, he plays.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah.
Nonsense. He's not playing. I know what it looks like to see the Steelers in the playoff. I don't want to see Derek Tuska and all these other cast of characters. They got reinforcements. Play those guys. This game means nothing. You've made the playoffs. The objective is to win in the playoffs.
But don't you help yourself by winning a division, getting a home playoff game versus not?
Not if you lose T.J. Watt.
But you're playing an if game. How do you know you're going to lose T.J. Watt? If he's able to play, he's able to play.
Bob, you keep saying that, but if there's two scenarios. If he's able to play in any other normal game,
If he's able to play in October,
I mean, Jerome Bettis was able to play in that Patriots playoff game, but he only played because it was a playoff game.
That's not what I just described.
I know, but you wouldn't play. You wouldn't risk T.J. in a, all right, let's gut it out because we have to win scenario.
No, I'm not doing that because, as Anthony said, they're already in the playoffs. So, no, I'm not pushing it to that degree. What I'm saying is if this is a mild sprain and he's fine to go and he wants to play and the doctors say there's no risk involved further, then he plays. It's a simple thing. They got to win this game.
Yeah, if he would have been cleared for any other game, then I'd play him in this game.
Don't you think Anthony's more risk in trying to be too cautious with players playing? If you tell him not to, don't do this, we're in the playoffs, we're going to... No, you win the game. You're playing the game, you win the game.
If you tell me there's no risk, Bob, that he's going to get further injured, then you're not taking a risk. I mean, there is no decision then. The decision comes in if the guy is at risk here and injured.
I just said if he's not.
You can still get cleared in a playoff scenario for that. You know what I mean?
Yes, but Anthony just said the bottom line is to win a playoff game. To me, you put yourself in a position to best win a playoff game. And for them, the best position is playing at home, I think.
The best position is being healthy.
Well, both, obviously.
If you had to choose, which one would you take?
Healthy
or home?
Healthy is very important. If everyone is healthy, but no one's going to be healthy. Ask the Detroit Lions. I mean, this can happen anytime. Ask George Pickens. When did he get hurt? In practice? You could get hurt at any time. Anthony, go ahead before we talk too much.
Fellas, I've seen too many Fitzgerald Toussaints. I've seen too many replacements for Ryan Shazier. I've seen the Derek Tuskas in that crowd. I don't want that anymore. I'm like Mr. Rooney. I want a victory in the playoffs and get as far as we can. So this game is beautiful. Hopefully you'll go in there like the 84 Steelers and beat the Raiders and then go on and beat John Elway. But I'm not taking any chances. I don't want my season to blow up anymore.
I too am erring on the side of caution. And you would think that Mike Tomlin, of all the people on the planet Earth right now, would err on the side of
all
caution.
All right, then what about George Pickens?
This is a dude who had seasons blown up because he didn't have T.J. Watt or Ryan Shazier or Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell or Marquise Pouncey in a Super Bowl. Get there healthy. George Pickens, the same scenario, Bob. And it's very simple. My doctors tell me, I'll say this,
hamstrings are different than what T.J. Watt has. Totally different. Hamstrings.
I mean, I don't know what T.J. Watt has. They're saying it's a low ankle.
Yeah, it's like a sprained ankle or a slight sprain of his ankle. And apparently, we'll see.
If my doctors tell me, Mike, Omar, and Art, if this game were September 17th against Seattle, I would. He should play. He could play in that game. He could play in this game. Then he's in. If they tell me, man, he could play, but I think there's a slight risk he could get more injured, and I would probably only play him in a must-win scenario. I don't think this is a must-win scenario. It's not, by any definition, a must-win scenario. They can still win the division if they lose this game.
But the chances become less in terms of that. You can't, if you lose this game, you're inviting Baltimore back in. There's no guarantee you're going to beat Kansas City.
Well, that's
and you
true.
May even lose to Cincinnati. But if you win
still
this
control
game,
your fate. And plus, Baltimore's got
to
win
but
twice.
But again, to me, winning this gives you the luxury of setting up two more weeks of trying to figure out health, premium health.
Sure.
If you have to play against Kansas, let's say that Watt doesn't play. They lose. And he plays in Kansas City because they have to win, because they want to win that home, and they get hurt there. I mean, you can make these scenarios every way you want them. My expectation would be I'd try to get this done as soon as possible to get a home playoff game and a three seed. And if these guys are cleared, they're able to, they play. It's a simple scenario to me. What degree? If it's 70, no. 80, no. If there's a even the slightest of risk with a guy like him, I agree with you guys. No. But if he's capable of it,
yeah,
and they've been cleared, he plays.
Sure. Yes. If they tell me he'd play in any other game, I'd play him in this game. For sure. I mean, that's obvious. But where we get into the gray area is, again, well, for the 8 millionth time, what if it was only, I would only play this guy if you had to win this game. I'm not playing him. Absolutely not. If it was the game, you know, a rematch with the Ravens in January, then I'm putting there on one leg if they want to play. I'm putting Jerome Bettis out there with shots in his leg, or Ben, who can barely walk on an ankle, things like that, of course. All right, next. One more.
Well, let's go to Rob in the car.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing, man?
Good.
What's up?
This is tricky, man. I mean, if he's me, I'm speaking on me, man. This is opinion-based. If he's medically clear, when I mean medically cleared, I mean I need professionals to tell me that they can play without further injury. Because other than that, I don't want to hear that I'm okay, I'm good, because, you know, they talked away in the plan and the minute they're competitors. But that's the only way that they will play. Because we've seen Steelers are totally different without TJ, man. And as of today, the offense is totally different without Pickens. So,
how about the successful season, Rob? If they win the division and lose in the first round again, is that a good year for you?
No, you got to win a playoff game, man. You got to win a playoff game. I'm sorry, man, because, like I said, this is all opinion-based. The last couple teams that we had going to the playoffs, I've never felt that they could really win a game and make a little run the way I feel about this team. I'm not saying they're perfect, but we all see what we see out there every Sunday. They look totally different, like they can go. They got a quarterback, you know, to have a punching chance anywhere. Last year, we knew he wasn't going up there with Mason Rudolph and win that game.
I know, and we appreciate the call. Mason Rudolph's going to start this week, Bob. Did you see that?
And so is Michael Penix Jr. over the guy they just paid $180 million to. This is the problem with, and again, going back to the Russell Wilson situation, and Aaron Rodgers, and Kirk Cousins. Look how far the drop-off can be, how quickly the drop-off can come. People want to suggest that Russell can play for another 3-4 years. Okay, but watch as you age. Watch. I mean, that's a risky proposition. They can actually cut him at the end of this year, and they will have spent almost $100 million on 1 year when it comes to dead cap money on Kirk Cousins when they drafted Michael Penix to be their next quarterback.
Jay Caulfield coming up on the Penguins first. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week here on the Pomp and Joe Show. We bring on the general from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry, General Patton, Jeff Patton. Your chance to win the card or cards of the week comes from going on our website, 937thefan.com. Head on over to our contesting page right around noon today through Friday. Everybody give a guess for the card of the week.
Limits. Oh, I know what it is. It's
you
been
know
today.
Already?
No, I got it. It's, are you kidding me? You know what it is.
Paul Skeens?
It is absolutely Spencer Horwitz.
Good one, Bob.
Who do you have, Limits?
I was thinking Ricard Raquel for the game winner last night, but I'm thinking that it might be a little bit past the deadline, so I'm going to go Paul Skeens.
I'm going to go whoever the other guy is the Pirates got. They collect utility men. They ever going to get a guy who plays one position and plays it well instead of a guy who plays eight positions crappy? Who's the other guy they got, Limits, from the Red Sox?
Vasquez or Valdez or
yeah, whoever
somebody.
He is, General, that's who the card of the week is.
Gentlemen, good morning. I appreciate you having me today. City Limits nailed it today. We're going with Ricard Raquel. Among the malaise that has been the interest of the Penguins, Raquel's bounced back this year. It's been a really good year for him.
14 goals. He's been on fire.
Yeah, he has been, and I don't know if we're paying close enough attention to that. I have a 2013 Select Ricard Raquel rookie autograph, and it's a graded PSA 9.
Holy bird
milk. I'm also going to throw in a much-looked-for card at this time of the year. I got a St. Nick rookie card. I'm throwing in a Santa Claus from 1990
wow.
Pro Set.
How about that? St. Nick, that's awesome. Do you by any chance, do you have a Horwitz card?
Oh, I do. Yeah, we threw one in last week. I'll throw one in on account of you this week. I have a little more higher hopes than you guys do. And I'm going to pose something to you. I'm not sure how successful he's going to be. But this is going to be the first litmus test for Matt Hague, right? They hire a hitting coach who comes out of the same organization that they trade for a hitter. Is it possible he sees something in him? And he was blocked by Vladimir Guerrero.
Could be.
I'm not saying he is.
Very nice point, General. And we thank you for the card of the week.
Have a good day. Thank you, guys.
See you, Jeff.
See you, buddy. That's Jeff Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry.
Did anyone find the Skeens card, by the way? I didn't even
know. No, that would have been national news.